So my favorite number is the number 13. It's always been my favorite number, and anything that's been kind of significant in my life has always happened on the 13th. And you can imagine my glee when I met my husband, who is renovating a Hampden Row house, that his favorite number was number 13. I mean, seriously, can you imagine the coincidence? And it was so exciting that we actually got married on the 13th. Now, you know, my husband is actually a kind of good counterbalance to me. I've got a lot of excess energy, kind of manic energy, and he tends to be very zen, very calm. And so they do say that opposites attract. There was a small hiccup. He did not want to have kids. And so, in fact, he did not want to have kids, so that he actually had a vasectomy years and years and years ago. But when he met me, he fell in love with me and decided to be open to the possibility. So we negotiated one for an option of two at the time. So we got married and had, you know, I guess that year of kind of wedded bliss. And we got a reversal vasectomy, and I got pregnant, and that was very exciting. And things were going well. My husband got his architecture license, a job within walking distance of our house, which was very cool. My pregnancy was going well, work was well. And we decided to take what was called that baby moon, you know, that little holiday before the child shows up. And so we went hiking on Harper's Ferry, and at 6.5 months pregnant, I looked like I was about to give birth at any moment. And so you can imagine the kind of looks that we got when we were on, you know, hiking the mountain. People were a little kind of wigged out. And we were in that stage of the pregnancy talking about names and, you know, planning for the future. We get back on Sunday, April 12th, and on the morning of April 13th, my husband had a stroke. At the age of 40, he had a stroke. Now, you would have thought that would have actually killed our love affair with the number 13, right? That seems to be kind of bad news, right? But after numerous meetings with the doctors, the neurologists, the neurosurgeons, it was actually determined that what should have happened on the 13th was that he should have died. He had a very rare cyst, something smack in the middle of the brain that shouldn't be there. And so instead of dying on the 13th, he ended up living, but having to have brain surgery a month later. So in preparation for brain surgery, my husband actually shaved his head because he wanted to look like Mace Windu from Star Wars, if that gives you any indication of what he's like. And as we got to Johns Hopkins Bayview at 7 o'clock in the morning and we got into the elevator, the guy in the elevator actually said, you know, baby in delivery. I mean, that would make sense, right? I'm really pregnant. But I said, oh, no, neurosurgery. And so doctors are required to give you a list of risks of things that might possibly happen, you know, when you undergo some sort of terrible or any sort of procedure, right? And so in the case of brain surgery, which is really, it's difficult to get anything worse than that, I don't know, you can have sensory deprivations, blindness, death, short-term memory loss, but not in that particular order. And I remember joking with my husband at the time. I said, wouldn't it be funny about the short-term memory loss? Imagine the games I could play on you. And it didn't even dawn on me at the time that it could possibly be the reality, right? And it didn't even dawn on me. Because the fact is, actually, for that month that my husband was at Johns Hopkins Bayview and at Kernan Hospital, he would wake me up. He'd call me in the middle of the night several times asking me what had happened to him. He actually didn't remember the last 5 years. And what does that last 5 years make up? It included the time his grandmother died, meeting me, although he remembered me, our courtship, our marriage, our wedding, our honeymoon, our marriage, our pregnancy, our life together, right? I have a very strong memory of sitting at Johns Hopkins Bayview in the intensive care unit, and my husband's head was all kind of wrapped up, and there are tubes kind of coming into the brain and all sorts of crazy stuff. It's really not a good vision, actually. And I'm sitting next to the hospital bed, needle pointing like crazy because I kind of keep my hands busy, and the baby's kicking like crazy because, remember, I'm pregnant. And I remember thinking at the time, what a surreal contrast, you know, to have on one hand such stillness and on the other hand such energy, such life, right? On one hand, my husband remembered nothing, and I remembered everything. Now, one funny thing about short-term memory loss, or at least as it related to my husband and I, you know, I think I told you that my husband had gotten this reversal vasectomy. Well, that happened within the last 5 years. So every time I went to Johns Hopkins Bayview or Kernan Hospital, and I'd show up and I'd be this really, you know, really pregnant, he couldn't understand how I was possibly pregnant. Now, I will say that was funny, probably the first and the second and the third time, maybe not as funny the 30th time. But the thing about babies is that they're actually very present, right? You know, it's all about immediate gratification. And I knew our daughter was going to be early. You just know that. And in advance of the birth, I had invited a very close friend of ours, Kate, to actually come and be there at the birth because of any experience that I wanted my husband to remember, it was the birth of our child. And, you know, and if you're actually well-rested, I wanted to make sure my husband was well-rested and well-fed because when you're well-rested and well-fed, you actually remember things better. And that kind of worked. My husband remembers our daughter, knows our daughter. That's great. But our daughter actually ended up being the exact thing we needed because babies only need, you know, in the now, right? They only need love and they only need people to kind of take care of them and to feed them and to change them. You know, our daughter didn't ask my husband what happened 2 weeks ago or 3 years ago. She didn't really kind of care. And it ended up actually putting a positive spin on something that was extraordinarily painful and extraordinarily, you know, negative, right? It was all about the now. And since she was such an easy, happy, joyous baby, it actually made the transition to parenthood so much better for both of us, who are obviously apprehensive. So we're still married. And which is actually fairly unusual for people who have been, couples who have been affected by traumatic brain injury or acquired brain injury. Couples usually don't survive such an experience. And we're still married. And I've now known my husband more years post-surgery than pre-surgery, which is a kind of surreal sort of feeling. And my husband still suffers from short-term memory loss, although it's substantially better than it was. And it's now become a joke in the family, a joke that our daughter participates in from time to time, which is kind of funny and kind of not. But, you know, the real impact of this whole experience for me was how much do you actually share with your family, right? Like when you actually are building a marriage or building a life with someone, how much time do you spend talking about the experiences that you had together? The kind of the trips, the vacations, what you did yesterday, those family rituals. And so what actually happens when one person remembers nothing from that? And as a result, I had at that time stopped planning and essentially stopped dreaming because of something so difficult, so rare as a cyst in the smack in the middle of your brain that 3 in a million people get, kind of disrupt a marriage, then anything bad could happen. But we are here actually still married, which is a real success. And I've actually started planning again, but with a real urgency. So there's certain things in our household and our family that we have to do on an annual basis. They include apple picking at Lairland Farms. They include going to the Patterson Park Lantern Parade. They include picking up chestnuts at Druid Hill Park. Let's see what else. There is a kind of crazy, zany dress up in costumes for Easter and go on some sort of random Easter egg hunt. All these things actually must happen, and not only should they happen, but they have to be documented and photographed. And the intention is actually to create memories that our whole family can actually remember, including my husband. So our favorite number is still the number 13, but our daughter's is the number 7. Thank you.